Hello and welcome to episode 4 of One Team in Wales, the podcast by Taff and Daff, bringing you up to date with Glamorgan's latest outings and looking ahead to their next fixture as well. As always, I'm Blake Bint presenting for you, and alongside me, as has been a regular fixture now, Alice Hopkins, and also delighted to be joined by editor of The Hawk, which is the outlet that runs Hampshire, Rich Edwards. So thank you, gentlemen, for joining me. I guess we'll start straight away, as we always do, with looking at Glamorgan's last game. So, Alid, you were there with me on day one and following the stream, probably trying not to fall asleep for the other days, as well as I was trying not to fall asleep in the media centre. A flattering draw, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it was one of those, wasn't it? And apologies to the listeners, my voice isn't the best this week, but I will try and soldier on. Yeah, it wasn't a classic, was it? And we talked about the sort of potential magnitude of that game with Leicestershire being a fellow promoted side, and it was okay on day one, but then it fairly died a death, really, didn't it? As the pitch really flattened up. We saw, I think, a completely different pitch than perhaps we saw against Yorkshire, where there was very, very little in it for the bowlers. We saw a bit of spin, particularly on day two and day three against Yorkshire, from both sides. Mason Crane and Dom Best did really well in that game, but there was very, very little in it for the bowlers, past day one in this game. And yeah, I think the score that Leicestershire ended up getting really reflected that, which was a shame. And Richard Dawson said himself that he sort of, we'll come to that later, but he sort of said himself that it was a pitch he perhaps wasn't expecting, and they weren't expecting that type of game. So yeah, not a classic, but an important game. I think 12 points taken from the game, and something to build off.
Yeah, Alfonso Thomas was very critical of the pitch too. 12 points at home, as you said, is not the worst. And if Glamorgan can get 12 points from every game, I think they know they'll be safe. As Hampshire learnt last season, Rich, with 9 draws and 2 wins, I think it was keeping them up. So just how important is it to make your home track, even if it can be a flat one every week, a bit of a fortress?
I don't think you could ever accuse the utility bowl of being a fortress for Hampshire at the moment. You guys have probably just sat through more runs than most Hampshire supporters have seen over the past year. But yeah, I think actually, if you look at the table, it's an illustration of how important those bonus points can be. Hampshire have only picked up one batting point all season. That was a massive, massive problem last season, and it was. I mean, let's face it, there were runs everywhere, weren't there, in this round of matches. But I think Hampshire do have to get their first innings batting sorted out. I think if you spoke to some Hampshire batsmen, utility bowl pitches aren't pitches that they'd ideally carry around with them. Ben Brown's got a fantastic average away from the utility bowl, and not as good an average at home. So I think, yeah, home advantage it should be key. And a lot of those Hampshire bowlers enjoy bowling at the ground, but I'm not sure that a lot of those batsmen would choose to pick up that track and bring it wherever they could.
Yeah, there was a lot of runs, as you say, across all the fixtures this week. All 4 games in Division One ended in a draw. So I guess it was nothing gained, nothing lost, really. If we just run through the scores as we usually do from the game against Leicestershire for Glamorgan, 440 batting first from 91 for 4. Kieran Carlson opted to bat, which in the end seemed a pretty harmless decision despite being 91 for 4. Leicestershire then piled on 585 for 7. Declaring after 169 overs, which even saw Kieran Carlson deciding to bowl himself in a cap in the 161st over instead of taking the third new ball. And then Glamorgan came back out for a pointless 52 overs before hands were shaken at 5 p.m., 137 for 2 at the close of play. So I suppose a bit of confidence for the batters. Alid, Kieran Carlson 95, Sean Dixon 90, obviously Mason Crane was a big story getting 99, which was really unfortunate for him. And then Asa Tribe, your favourite player in the world, 67 not out in the second innings in a, I think I could have made 67 on that pitch, and my highest score is 61 against like a Div 10 team. So I think that sums it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why I'm getting tarnished with the Acer Tribe fan club presidency now. You know me, I'm the Gemma Porter fan club president, not necessarily Acer Tribe, but
We'll get her
yeah,
on for a pod just for you, Alan. We'll get her on.
some important knocks in there. I think particularly for Sean Dixon. It's been a sort of troubling start to his career at Sapphire Gardens, and that was a really important one for him. We talked about it, in the preview coming into it, where we thought he'd bat, and obviously the injury to Kellaway, kind of we didn't really know where he was going to line up, whether he was going to be put back to three or whether he was just going to slot in for Kellaway. And we said about there's not really a like for like replacement for Ben Kellaway, and he did really well. He ended up at staying at six and did really well, and I think that's a really important knock for him, as is for Kieran Carlson as well. I think we know Kieran, we know what a quality player he is when he's on his on form. He can be a little bit inconsistent sometimes, but when he's on, he's a really really quality player and a really dependable player, as the captain now for the Red Bull side as well. He's got a wide range of shots, and I think very very unlucky not to get a century. As was Dixon and Mason Crane, and yeah, Mason Crane's just, he's continuing to impress, isn't he? Not his best game with the ball in tough conditions, it has to be said, but even when he doesn't have his best game with the ball, he sticks his hand up and makes a massive difference with the bat, and he's had an excellent start to the season.
It's a shame, a real loss at Hampshire, wasn't he? Rich just didn't fit into their plans, I suppose, in all three formats that he seems to be getting the most out of across the border.
I mean, I think if you ask most Hampshire fans, they would only have positive things to say about Mason Crane. And yeah, felt really sorry for him falling one short of his 100. But he never really got a real run in that Hampshire side. And actually, if you look at he played that solitary test, didn't he, at Sydney, and I think he took one for 200 odd. But actually, he bowled pretty well in that test match. If it's possible to bowl well and take one for 200. So I think that most Hampshire fans actually are delighted that he has gone elsewhere. And because as a leg spinner, there's always a danger, isn't there? You leave a county at the age that he left Hampshire and you drift out of the game. So I think that's really positive from him that he's done really well at Glamorgan. And who knows? I mean, I don't think he's a million miles away from being selectable for England. I mean, if you were going to look for a leg spinner.
Alan's got a smile on his face because he said this before the season started, and he's been pumping
Well,
this
there's been
every
a few
week.
people. Yeah, there's been a few people cheerleading him. And the fact is that, like you say, he does take wickets. And if you're a leg spinner and you do genuinely turn it, which he does, then that's pretty priceless. And like you say, you can, as you guys have seen, he can score runs. As well, and he's a really, really lovely bloke. I think most Hampshire fans will be looking forward to welcome him back to Southampton. Obviously, won't be hoping he takes too many wickets, but I think he's still got a lot of friends in that Hampshire dressing room. I think they'll be looking forward to seeing him again as well. And he's probably coming back a more mature bowler than he was when he left. So I think it's. Yeah, good for him, and good for Glamorgan that he's doing so well, and good for English cricket because I think we all want to see a bit of variety, don't we? And leg spin is that variety. It's brilliant to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's certainly putting his hat in the ring. One for 167 this week again. Obviously, didn't do justice for any of the bowlers, and the way his batting's come on is really good to see. Just going to take a slight detour because on the note on the notion of Hampshire potentially, losing players that have gone on to do well elsewhere, is Ian Holland is someone I personally rate incredibly highly. He ripped apart Glamorgan's top order first day of the season in Division Two last year, and he had a good game this time again on a tricky pitch for anyone to bowl on. Took two wickets in the opening hour and then went on to get 79, which, as I said, maybe isn't worth 79 anywhere else. But I mean, is he someone that Hampshire could probably do with now?
Yeah, possibly. Again, I think, there's so much competition for places that he probably thought that going to, well, he was proved completely right that going to Leicester would get more first team opportunities. He's captain there now as well, isn't he? But if you've got someone who can bat in the top four, get through a fair number of overs, and I know he's very highly rated as a captain, and he's probably got more nationalities, I think, than any other cricketer playing in the County Championship as well. He is, ironically, for someone who's known as Dutchie, I think is, I think he's a very, very adaptable cricketer, and Leicester should have done really, really well, I think, to get him in as skipper. And I think Leicestershire and Glamorgan, well, you know better than me, but I would think that both would be relatively happy with the way that they've started this season. Leicestershire, I think when Surrey were racking up the runs on the opening weekend, you kind of feared for them a little bit. But Leicestershire's batting has proved really, really robust, hasn't it? Perhaps they haven't got the bowlers to run through Div 1 batting lineups, but I think from a batting perspective, and Glamorgan as well, possibly to a slightly lesser degree. But I think Leicestershire and Glamorgan have shown that they're not going to be pushovers, because I think that, with all due respect, I think most people would have probably had them in their bottom two predictors at the start of the season.
If we look at the table now, Hampshire are sat bottom after three games with one win and two losses, whereas Glamorgan are sat just above them as a Yorkshire with one loss and two draws. So let's take the time then to hear from Richard Dawson after the game against Leicestershire, where he speaks about the pitch.
Listen, it wasn't what we expected. So it was probably a different game of cricket than what we planned for. I suppose it was challenging in a different way. When Leicestershire got ahead of us, and then you start thinking they've got a test spinner on day four as well. So it then becomes a different challenge rather than just thinking about the pace attack. So and you're always going through those things in your head, talking to your players. Listen, let's not look too far ahead and things like that. And almost planning and trying to work out what they're going to do. So you're always going through that in your head. But yeah, it was certainly a different game of cricket than we probably expected on day one.
What more do you think it needs to be considered poor, and what conversations might be had with a match referee around that?
I don't know. I've not even thought about that, because I'm thinking yesterday if they get a lead on us and then they take a couple of early wickets, then obviously they're in the box seat. So I've not even thought about that sort of stuff. My mind was chatting to the lads about how we're going to combat the challenges that we're going to come up against and things like that. And like I said, it's the different challenges, different pitch, different challenges. We had a different pitch at Notts, so you just got to keep on working out how you're going to solve problems. And they're the conversations I'm having with the players. I'm not worrying about the other stuff.
This game is a huge game, and these last two games, the Leicestershire game and this game, are two massive, massive games for Glamorgan. Before we go into Somerset and Warwickshire, who are right at the top of the table, and then into the T20 break. So I think this game against Hampshire, who sit bottom at the moment but are a very, very good side and got some very, very capable players. I'm actually, I was going to say to Rich, I'm just looking at the side, and you've got Jake Leeman fourth in total runs, and you've got Kyle Abbott second in total wickets in the leaderboard at the minute, and you sat bottom and you've won a game as well. You've won a game we haven't, and it's pretty crazy that. Is it just down to sort of too many individual performances, or has the team just not quite come together as much yet, and it's down to individuals?
I think we really, really are lucky against Somerset, to take them right to the wire, lose by two wickets. I think that would have been quite tough to take. Fair play to Somerset for chasing down 280 odd. That's a great effort on a wearing last day pitch. But I think Hampshire, they capitulated basically in the opening game against Essex. It was Russell Domingo's first game in charge. It's just one of those. Hampshire had had a really good winter. The players were going into it very, very positively. I think it was just one of those things, and I think it's probably a division where you're going to see those results throughout the season. I think you've already seen Essex get thumped by Somerset, and there's been some funny results. Surrey haven't really hit the ground running yet. But I think, if you're going to pin, it's not too hard to see where Hampshire's problems start and end. It's in the first innings batting. I think you've seen that time and time again, and there's been opportunities throughout those three games, even in the Essex game, which was lost so abjectly by an innings. You still had opportunities where people were building partnerships, and then wickets have fallen in clusters. But what I think Hampshire, I don't think we'd look at a Premier League table in football after three games and draw too many conclusions from it. I don't think we can look at the Div 1 table at the moment and draw that many conclusions from it too, because I think actually in every game you've seen outstanding efforts from individuals like you alluded to. Carl Abbott's been brilliant. Sonny Baker actually I think has been absolutely sensational, bowling super quick, moving the ball. He looks, cricketer transformed to me. And there's some young guys on that side. You've got Ben Mays and Eddie Jack. I think Eddie's 19, 20. Ben is still only 18. He's got his A levels, next month. So there's players learning all the time in that team, and it obviously helps when you've got the likes of Liam Dawson, Carl Abbott, Jake Layman, who's come over and, by all accounts has had a really, really positive impact. What I would say is that I don't think you're going to get a game, regardless of what the surface is like. I don't think you're going to get a game like the one you had against Leicestershire, because I think Hampshire's philosophy this year is, go hard or go home, basically. I think the batters have been told to go out there and be as positive as possible. And again, that might be reflected in the way that, wickets have fallen in batches, and, perhaps in early April when the ball's moving around, maybe you could take a more pragmatic approach. But we've seen with England that when it comes off, it's great to see. We saw that in the second innings against Yorkshire when Ben Brown got 100 and Jake Layman scored runs as well. So I think what you'll see against Glamorgan is you'll see a Hampshire team that will come out and attack. And I think Russell Domingo's philosophy is very much trying to get players not to be intimidated by pressure, but to really embrace it and just go out there. He'd rather see a batsman holding out at long off, I think, after 20 balls than someone poking around trying to find some form and nicking off behind, after the same amount of time. So I think that there's very much a really positive approach around the county this season. I think that's reflected in the attitude of the players I speak to fairly regularly. I think it's quite a happy camp at the moment. And yeah, then Hampshire might be bottom, but I don't think that's necessarily a realistic reflection of those opening three games. But like I say, one bonus batting point tells its own story, doesn't it? And that, if you don't start picking up those first innings bonus points, then you're going to be struggling by the end of the season.
So what you're saying is we can expect Russ Ball.
Russ Ball, yeah.
Russ Ball.
Deming Ball, or yeah.
I suppose the table reflection point comes down to the ever long debate about how many points what should be worth and what the bonus points should be if they should exist, and a conversation for another slightly longer day. You mentioned only one batting point so far this season. It was something I wanted to bring up actually, because you look at Hampshire second 11 playing right now, as I was doing my research for this, and you've got guys who just can't seem to translate to first 11 runs, which I think seems to be what it seems like from someone looking in from afar, that a lot of uncertainty at Hampshire. Like Liam Dawson's got off to a slow start, but he'll come good eventually. But with the bat in particular, you've got Joe Weatherly there, scored 199 today. Felix Auggen scored 100, and then you've got James Fuller, who okay, he's more of an all-rounder. He scored 100 as well. But then take these guys into first-class cricket, and it doesn't seem to correspond. And you've got Felix Auggen, who's kind of another one who's just kind of on the bridge, isn't he?
So there's a few players pushing for a place in that team. Felix would be one. You've got Fletcher Middleton,
Tom Prest as
who had a
well.
brilliant, yeah, yeah. Actually, Tom Prest has had a really, really positive start to the season. He's been excellent, and I think he's in a much better place than he was this time last year. I mean, if you look at his background, played alongside Jacob Bethell for England under 19s. I think he captained that side. He's a cricketer that Hampshire had massively high hopes for. I think he scored a triple century for the second 11 when he was still only 17. So, he is an extremely talented cricketer. He's been given responsibility at number three, and he looks like he's thrived in that position. I think if he stays there for the next three matches, I think he's kind of one big score away from really taking off this season. But I think a lot of Hampshire supporters are looking at Ali Orr and wondering why he isn't in the team. But there's a lot of strength and depth at Hampshire, and well, I say there's a lot of strength and depth. Those guys really need to go out there and deliver now, don't they? They've been given, Joe Weatherly opened in the first two matches, didn't really find any kind of form. Toby Abbott came in, scored 40 odd, and I can't remember how many he got in the second innings, 20 odd. But again, looked decent, and he was the leading run scorer in the Blast last season. So, Joe Weatherley has also got a good record in T20 cricket, and Ali Orr had an amazing time in the Metro Bank One Day Cup. So, these aren't just guys that are very, very good cricketers. These are guys that can score quickly as well. And I suppose you can only shoehorn so many of them into the team. But I think the opening partnership has been a problem at Hampshire for a while. Nick Gubbins is opening at the moment and has done pretty well so far this season. I would be surprised if Toby Albert wasn't opening on Friday. I think it would be. I don't think that Domingo would give him one game and then try and then mix that up. So I think despite the fact that Joe Weatherley and Ali Orr have scored heavily in second eleven cricket, I think Russell Domingo sort of he wants to see these guys play for the first team. And yeah, I think it would probably be as you were for. I'm not expecting any real wholesale changes. The slight fly in the ointment, obviously, that Hampshire have is that both Liam Dawson and Sonny Baker are essentially contracted, and it's feasible that within 2 weeks, especially the way that Sonny Baker's bowling, I would think that England would probably want to wrap him up in Cornwall, because it wouldn't surprise me if he was given a go in that opening test against New Zealand at Lord's, and it wouldn't surprise me, and I know it wouldn't surprise a lot of the people within the coaching staff at Hampshire if Liam Dawson wasn't involved across at least two out of the three formats. And I think there's a chance that he might get an opportunity in Red Bull cricket. I guess we just have to wait and see, won't we, what the fallout is from the Ashes and what kind of approach McCullum and Stokes and Key want to take in Red Bull cricket. But it wouldn't surprise me if Liam was given an opportunity in tests again this summer. And if he does, then and if Sonny Baker breaks into the team as well, then that's those two gone pretty much for the year, because all England's action is backloaded, isn't it, from June onwards. So we probably need to Hampshire probably need to make the most of those two over the next couple of weeks.
Well, I suppose 2 weeks off, or sorry, a week off since 2 weeks since your last game against Somerset would help. Whereas Glamorgan had that week off the week before when we played against Somerset. I was going to say as well, Hampshire have had quite their misfortune, obviously with Michael Nisa originally signed up and then not playing, and then it was Jaden Seals who then got pulled away as well. But the bowling attack seems pretty set, doesn't it? Obviously, you touched on Baker there, Dawson as well. And then you've got Kyle Abbott, Mr. Reliable, and Cody Yusuf's been pretty good from afar, it looks like. And Eddie Jack's been exciting as well.
Yeah, I think Cody Yusuf probably hasn't fired the way that Hampshire would have liked, but I think,
Not the way Nisa might have.
no, and I think that's the real disappointment. I think Hampshire were disappointed with the way that was perhaps handled by Cricket Australia. I think they would have liked a bit more notice, because it was fairly obvious that there might be some kind of issue around that signing when he did so well in the Ashes. I think if you've got Nisa and Kyle Abbott leading your attack, then that's taking you into a different world entirely, isn't it? And I think Nisa would have also scored some runs for Hampshire as well, like he did for Glamorgan. So and Jaden Seals as well, I think, is a bowler who would have come in and done well. And Cody Yusuf he was given about a week's notice, so it's no surprise that he perhaps hasn't hit the ground running. Maybe he'll find some form in this game, but Kyle Abbott still is carrying that attack to some degree, and he just does it year in, year out. I mean, he's just an absolute phenomenon. His ability to take wickets and just hammer it on a line of length is extraordinary. And maybe in that second innings against Somerset, he was feeling the effects of three county championship games in 3 weeks as a 38-year-old. But he's generally fit as a fiddle. He looked like he could play past Jimmy Anderson at the moment. We'll have to wait and see. But he's some bowler. And he's one who would have definitely welcomed this little window for this game.
Alid, Rich already said then to expect a result. As Hampshire are the only side in Division One to have had a result, positive or negative, in all three games, with Glamorgan top seven, getting more runs kind of spread across them, as we mentioned with Dixon and Carlson contributing now. We know what Ingram can do. Still some concerns over Byram and Al-Hassan, I think it's fair to say. And then you look at the bowlers. I mean, Van der Hoogten's just been consistent but wicketless in the last game. Ryan Hadley can't afford to not play, otherwise Glamorgan have got pretty much a Division 2.5 pace attack, I think. And Mason Crane needs to fire. Do you think, firstly, I mean, how Glamorgan are going to get a result? It feels like we say every week it's got to be Hadley and Crane get the wickets and Tribe, Carlson or Ingram get the runs. I mean, do you still see that?
Yes, to an extent. I think we're still waiting for Asa Tribe to probably put that massive marker down this season. I mean, he's had an 85 against Notts and a 67 not out yesterday, but as we said, that was a fairly sort of meager 67 not out. He wasn't really trying, and I don't think the bowlers were particularly either. So we probably won't count that one, but they all count in the book. I think just going off the back of what Rich said earlier about Hampshire's lack of firepower in the first innings, I think we've got to really take advantage of that and try
Do you
and,
think that's where it's won or lost?
I think potentially it could be. You look up and down the lineup in Hampshire's lineup, and as we've heard from Rich there, they've got a lot of really, really good players, and I think the longer the game goes on, you look at those two squads on paper, and you'd have to say they probably have the stronger of the two teams. And I think the more the game goes on, them at home as well, it favours them more. So I think we've got to strike early. We've got to strike in that first innings, and it's going to be down to the likes of Hadley and Van der Hoogten, to take if we bowl first, for example, on day one, to take early wickets, potentially Andy Gorvin offering something else as well with those medium pace sort of I don't want to call them dobblers. I think that's doing him a disservice, but offering something else, we'll say, than the other two.
As well as Andy Gorvin is a Hampshire lad. He's
There you
born in
go.
Winchester, where I am speaking to you from now. And went to Portsmouth Grammar School, I think, as well, before going to Cardiff Uni.
Yeah, it's great to see he's been able to get a place in a professional county, and he is particularly really effective at home. Personally, I'm just going to latch onto your point, Ali, but I think one of the bowlers might change this week. I feel like it won't be Al-Hassan, even though he's none for 112 so far this season. Well, in two games because he missed the first one. But I think, I can't see them taking him out of number three. And I think one of the bowlers have got to change. I think Gorvin and Al-Hassan are maybe too dissimilar. I don't know. Glamorgan seem to like him at home and struggle to pick him away. Maybe they go
You think it's
McIlroy, I'm not sure.
time for a bit of Jimmy Mack?
Yeah, left arm does offer something different. I mean, like I said, it's thank goodness that Glamorgan have got Ryan Hadley, because if they didn't have someone who offered that a little bit different, I mean, you'd almost write them down for Division Two next season already. I think he's been huge so far, even if not in figures necessarily. I mean, that's the way I see it. I think a lot of the time I just look at him and Crane, I go, God, if these batters see off them two, then that might be that.
Is it too big a game to risk potentially a Tom Norton instead of a Jamie Mack? Is it more of a safe option to go with McIlroy?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, McIlroy's not got a wealth of experience because he seems to always be 12th man, but I think just being left arm is something a bit different. It just seems to me that Glamorgan have got a really set seven in their team, and then you've got a Byram, an Ol Hassan, a Gorvin, who I do really rate, I should say, but is a bit of a home kind of pick, really. And then, like I say, it's just, seven or eight reliables, and then three that don't really add much, and unfortunately just don't seem to perform, but there's no one else better.
Yeah, it has to be said as well, Tim van der Hoogten and Mason Crane have really stepped up with the bat as well, as we've kind of touched on. But we've talked about Mason Crane, but Tim van der Hoogten's been really reliable and solid with the bat as well. So we talk about that top seven. I think potentially it's now extending to a top eight, top nine with the way they're playing at the minute. I know Ul Hassan and like Eddie Byram's been a little bit hit or miss. Asa Tribe's been a little bit hit or miss, but we know they have got they've got firepower in their locker, and we're just waiting to kind of see that, aren't we? I think, and hopefully this is the week we see that, because it for me this is a huge game, and I think before Glamorgan go to play Somerset and Warwickshire, Somerset just seem to be blowing everybody out of the water at the minute. I think this is a really, really important fixture to potentially get that first win.
Rich, just really quickly then, do you see first innings where it's won or lost? Because a GS bowl I would always think of to be a flat one, but as you've said, it doesn't seem to be the case.
Depending on which wicket you play on, he says, stating the obvious. But I think it will very much depend on what that track is on Friday. But yeah, I do feel it's that it is going to be down to that first innings, whether that is Hampshire going in first or Glamorgan. I think it's interesting you say about Asa Tribe needing a score, because we talked up James Roo to such an extent that he looked. He looked absolutely brilliant in the game that he played against Hampshire, and then Tom Abell came in and won the game for them as well. So yeah, it's Hampshire a bit sick of seeing really, really talented young players coming in and then fulfilling their potential at the utility bowl. But it'd be good to see Asa Tribe. He's obviously been someone that's been talked about a lot, and I get the feeling that he's really, he's not just generating excitement in Wales, but he's probably generating a lot of excitement in the Channel Islands. I think that can only be positive for cricket generally. So it'd be interesting to see how he goes. It'd be interesting to see how he copes with Carl Abbott. Basically, I think 10 overs of worth of batting against Carl Abbott tells you an awful lot about a young player. James Roo looked phenomenal, to be honest. And so it'll be interesting. It's a really, really good test of the England. England have been down the Aegeus, or the Utilita. Apologies, head of commercial. England have been down to see a fair bit of Hampshire this season. I think, obviously to look at Liam and Sonny, but I think that I'd be surprised if there wasn't someone down there for the first couple of days this week watching Sonny and Asa. Be interesting to see how that battle goes.
Well, we'll be watching, if not from the ground, then from the stream, and hopefully on that first test of the summer, 4th of June, we see two, maybe three players from Glamorgan and Hampshire combined. But for now, thank you very much to Alid, as always. And thank you to Rich from The Hawk. You can check out his work over there, the TAF and DAF equivalent over at Hampshire, who's been doing some great work down there. But for now, thank you all for listening. Goodbye.